In Miami, investigators are looking into the behavior of city and county police during an international ministerial conference there last year. Security for the talks to establish a free trade area of the Americas virtually closed off downtown Miami. Officials also severely limited access to planned protests nearby. Inside the yellow tape, talks went off without a hitch. Outside, protesters said they were harassed, beaten, even shot at without cause. As NPR's Philip Davis reports, two civilian panels are investigating.
Last November, as diplomats negotiated the subtleties of trade agreements inside the Hyatt Hotel downtown, on the streets outside, it was a different story. Phalanxes of police in riot gear patrolled closed streets, shouting at wayward protesters to get back. Police say they were trying to keep city streets safe for citizens, that they feared anarchists had infiltrated the ranks of union members, retirees, and young protesters who opposed a new trade treaty. The protesters never even got close to the talks. Mayor Manny Diaz called what happened in Miami a model for other cities facing similar protests. But now, many are questioning the Miami model. Charges against most of the protesters have already been dropped, and now two civilian investigative panels are looking into allegations of police misconduct. At a recent hearing at City Hall, the panels were inundated with stories of angry residents and people who came to protest. Protester Nikki Hartman said she had nothing but prayer beads in her hands when she was shot with rubber bullets.
I was bruised. I was humiliated. And there are actually photographs and video, which I am more than happy to turn over, of me crawling, all fours, crawling, scared, hurt, and trying to get away. And that was before they shot me in the head.
Barbara Buck, a Miami resident who described herself as a 57-year-old working mother, said police officers created an atmosphere of intimidation and chaos at the demonstration.
When the march ended, as people prepared to leave the area, commotion started from the south. All at once, tear gas was being fired off and the crowd ran, first north, blocked by a wall of police, then west. I heard shots being fired, and I didn't know if they were real bullets or not. Could this be another Kent State? I was afraid of being hit and gassed. I was running for my life.
Thousands of union members who had come to protest the talks originally cheered the police presence, said Fred Frost, an attorney with the AFL-CIO.
They came to Miami to peacefully protest for a better life, for their children, for their friends, for their grandchildren. And what happened? They were thrown to the ground. Rifles were pointed at their heads. They were denied restroom facilities. We had one individual who's paid taxes all his life, longer than I've been alive on this earth, fought in a war to defend this country, and he was denied bathroom facilities, and he soiled himself. He faced the indignity of soiling himself.
Even Richard Trunka, the national treasurer of the union, was stopped and searched by police as he entered a restaurant, Frost said, adding that the union is not going to forget how its members were treated.
The AFL and the entire labor movement, and I am personally committed to making sure that this brutality never happens again.
Though the civilian investigative panel has the power to subpoena witnesses, it cannot levy sanctions against the police, only make recommendations. But Janet R. McAlilly, the panel's vice president, said the hearing threw needed light on what happened during the FTAA meeting.
I think that was very healthy. I think we need to have that public exchange relative to police activities with the public.
Miami Police Chief John Timoney had no comment on the allegations, but he will testify at the next hearing of the civilian panels on February 5th. Philip Davis, NPR News, Miami.